Hey, this is Gary Zimak. Welcome to the program. Great to be with you here on this Friday afternoon. It's time to look at the readings for Christmas Day. I've got a lot of different readings to pick from. I think I'm going to be touch on a couple of the different sets of readings that you may hear depending on when you go to Mass. We have Mass during the night. We have Mass at dawn. We have Mass during the day. They all have something unique to offer. So what I'll try to do is touch a little bit on each of the readings, talk a little bit about the birth of Jesus and how his birth impacts us. That's what I'd like to do. It's a lot to cover in a half an hour, but I'm going to try to get it done. I want to thank you for spending this time with me. It's great to be here with you each Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, remember that you can also get the podcast on iTunes or TuneIn Radio as well. You can get it in any number of different places. It's going to be free of charge no matter how you do it. I want to thank you for your support throughout the year as we just about wind up the year of 2016 and head on into another year. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your kindness, for your contributions, your financial donations, all of your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee and Amazon using the Amazon links at my website, followingthetruth.com. You're the reason I'm here. I've said this so many different times, and I'm pleased to be able to do this show in addition to the morning show that I do. It gives me a little bit more of a chance to dig into the scripture. So I've got lots of scripture to do today. I want to get right to it. I also want to let you know that if there's anything that I can do for you, any questions you may have, any comments, any extra prayers, just send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'd also love to speak at your parish in the upcoming year. I'm booking dates for 2017 and 2018 right now. So if you'd like me to come in and give a talk, give a one-day retreat, give a parish mission, all you need to do is drop me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we could set it up. I would love to do that. In January, in just a few weeks from now, I have my next book, my sixth book coming out. It's called Stop Worrying and Start Living. It's a devotional. So if you're somebody who, like me, struggles with anxiety, if you're prone to anxiety and you need a little extra help, I think you're going to love this book. It's a Bible verse plus a reflection for every day of the year. So no matter what you face, I've got you covered. Stop worrying and start living. You can pre-order it now. And I would say the best place to do that is to go to followingthetruth.com and go to the book page. You'll see all the different links for my books. And then that'll send you to Amazon. When you do it that way, I get a little bit of an extra commission on anything you purchase. That's why I'd like you to go through the website if you'd be so kind to do that. And then you'll be able to get the book. You can pre-order it now, and it will be available, I think January 21st is the release date. What seems to be happening for the past several books that I put out is they always seem to come out earlier than they're supposed to. So hopefully you'll get it before January the 21st, but it is available for pre-order now. Just go to followingthetruth.com. And if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's begin with a prayer, and then we'll get right into all of these different readings that I want to cover today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you so much for loving us enough to send us your Son, Jesus. And as we celebrate his birth on Christmas Day, we ask you to help us to get to know Jesus better and to get to know you better through the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, we know you love us. We know you care for us. We know that anything that happens in our lives is somehow allowed to happen by you. So even if we're dealing with difficulties, we know that somehow these problems can draw us closer to you. Father, we ask you to bless us, our family members, those around us. Please heal anybody who is sick, anybody who is lonely, anybody who is anxious, anybody dealing with doubt or despair. Please help those struggling with religious persecution, those battling addictions. We ask you to bless all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion in the world. And please bless our elected officials. Help them to govern us according to your law. We present to you our own personal needs. I give you this show, Father, and I ask you to speak through me during this show. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we go. Let me take a sip of my beverage du jour today. I just have a simple glass, a big glass of water. I hope you're relaxed. Hope you're ready to get started with this. We've got so much to do on the program today because I want to cover all these different readings. So let's get right to it. We're not going to do every reading from every possible Mass because we only have 30 minutes. But let's just touch on a couple of them. So the first option that we have is Mass during the night. For instance, if you go to Midnight Mass, you'll hear this reading. These readings. The first reading comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And I love this reading, especially if you put it in the context of Midnight Mass, the darkness. So many times we walk in darkness in our own lives, and we need the light of Jesus. We need the light of Jesus to penetrate this darkness. Remember this. He's with you. Even if it doesn't feel like it, He is with you. He is always with you. The trick for us is to remember that He's with us, right? Once we remember He's with us, we're going to do just fine. We forget that He's with us. Well, let me get to this reading. The people, it's a very famous one. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed as on the day of Midian. For every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for flames. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, from David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of Hosts will do this. We need to remember the fact that for thousands of years, people awaited the Savior. I think a lot of us we're spoiled. We're somewhat desensitized to this need for a Savior in our lives because we've grown up knowing that we have a Savior. Now, of course, we have to get to know Him better, but He's there. He's always been there. So if you could try to put yourself in the shoes of those who needed a Savior, who were waiting, who didn't know exactly when He would arrive. They had a lot more anticipation than we do. So what I would say to you is look for ways to invite Jesus more deeply into your heart. Look for Him in other people. Look for Him in your problems. You know, you might feel like you are walking in the darkness. What you need to do is find a way to tap into Jesus and to invite Him into your life and to let Him work in your life. Maybe you want to make a visit to your local adoration chapel. Maybe you want to start receiving Him on a daily basis in Holy Communion. Maybe you want to get to confession more. Maybe you could start reading Scripture more frequently. All of these things will enable you to have that light come into your life, that light that will shine in the darkness. Even though we're blessed we have the Savior, we walk around as if we don't have Him. He's waiting for us to invite Him in. To let Him in, as he says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door and invites me in, I will come in to eat with him. But you got to open the door to let Him into your life. Now, the gospel is from Luke, and again, I'm skipping around different Mass readings. I'll just give you a little taste of the different readings. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child while they were there, the time came for her to have her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It's interesting when we look at this gospel narrative, and this is from Luke chapter 2, where the prophecies, the Old Testament prophecies, predicted or prophesied, more appropriate term, the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied that the Savior would come from where? Come from Bethlehem. That's what was known. Now, Jesus was from, he would be living in Nazareth in Galilee. That's where Joseph and Mary were from. But look at how God, in his providential wisdom, got the prophecies to be fulfilled. Because he had Joseph travel to Bethlehem for the census, which is what happened. And as a result, Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem, and they gave birth, or Mary gave birth to Jesus while in Bethlehem, thus fulfilling that prophecy. And unfortunately, a lot of people missed the point with Jesus. They didn't recognize that he was the Messiah because he lived in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, which is exactly what the prophet foretold about the birth of Jesus. Now, also, take note of the fact that the birth of Jesus was an absolute expression of humility. Jesus was born in a stable. There was no room for him at the inn, so he was born in a stable. He left the comfort of heaven to be born in Bethlehem in a stable. And you and I, we complain a lot of times about the different things that we have to face in our lives. We complain about the difficulties, the inconvenience that we may have to face. But yet Jesus had no problem being born in a stable. And if you look at Mary and Joseph, I mean, you would think that the mother and the foster father of Jesus would get some special treatment because they were given such a difficult role, but they weren't. They had to take a very difficult journey to Bethlehem. This wasn't a matter of hopping in the car and just driving up there. This was a difficult journey, but they were up for the task because they wanted to do God's will. How can, and let's apply this to our lives, let's look at this gospel and apply it to our lives. What are we being asked to do, or what will we be asked to do that will be uncomfortable, that will not be pleasant, that will require us to step out of our comfort zone? Something will happen, or maybe is happening right now. You might see people around, you might have people in your life right now that you would rather not reach out to. You might be feeling called to a particular situation, maybe to volunteer more at church, maybe to pray more, maybe to switch jobs because you feel the Lord's calling you to do something else. So many different things we rule out because they involve leaving our comfort zone. So why don't we ask the Lord to help us with that? I know this has always been a problem with me. Let's ask him to help us to be able to leave our comfort zone so that we can follow his will for our lives. It's very powerful. The Lord can work very powerfully in our lives by our submission, by being submissive and volunteering to leave our comfort zones. Okay, let's continue on with the Mass at Dawn now. The first reading from the Mass at Dawn is once again from Isaiah chapter 62, this time, verses 11 and 12. See, the Lord proclaims to the ends of the earth, say to daughter Zion, your Savior comes. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called frequented, a city that is not forsaken. You and I, we should feel very blessed today because we have been redeemed. Our Savior made that decision to come to earth, and he redeemed us. Now, the only trick for us is that we need to make sure that we make it to heaven. Just being redeemed isn't enough. We've got to make sure that we each day, one day at a time, walk with Jesus and cooperate with the grace that he gives us. He gives us grace. Grace can be, we can get grace through prayer, through the sacraments. Primarily we get it through the sacraments. We get grace, and that grace helps us to live a life really that imitates Christ. And that's what we want to try to do. We can't do that without that grace. But you've been redeemed. The gates of heaven are open. Heaven is open for business. It's possible for us to get to heaven now. What we have to make sure that we do is, again, cooperate with that grace so that we can end up achieving our salvation. We're not going to do it in any other way but through the help of Jesus Christ, through that grace that he gives us. But heaven is open for business, and it is possible for us to get to heaven. Let's look at the gospel from the Mass at dawn now. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The shepherds ventured to see Jesus, and they saw something amazing. So let's look at that in our own lives. How does this, how could we apply this to our daily lives? Well, again, and this is a common message, but it's a message that's not always easy to put into practice. How am I looking for Jesus in my life today, number one? And number two, how am I being Jesus for other people? How am I seeking Jesus, and how am I being Jesus for others? You know, you put this into practice every day, and you're going to be changing some lives. Not only your own, but you're going to change the lives of other people. The world is filled with individuals who are desperately looking for Christ, but they don't even know it. They don't know it. They're lonely, they're sad, they're anxious, they're worried about all kinds of things. And it's primarily because they don't know the Lord. What do you do? How do you bring Jesus to them? Well, the first thing you do is you ask the Holy Spirit. Remember, if you've been baptized and you've been confirmed, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus gave you his very own Spirit. That's an amazing gift. We really shouldn't downplay that, because a lot of times we beat ourselves up and we think, well, I'm never going to be good. I don't know the right thing to do. Why do I always do the wrong thing? Well, the problem is we're not depending on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly nudging us, giving us advice for how we should act in any number of situations. There's seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we have those gifts available to us. But oftentimes, we don't make use of them. So we have this great blessing of the Holy Spirit. What am I doing to listen to the Holy Spirit and really put his advice, his guidance, you know, the fortitude that he gives us when we want to quit, that gift of fortitude, and all those different gifts of the Holy Spirit, what am I doing to put them into practice? If I do that, see, if I start to do that, then I am, in essence, imitating Jesus and going out and doing what Jesus would have done. Now, that's a great goal. That's a great goal for us, to imitate Christ every day at the office, at the store, if I'm in school, wherever I am, imitating Jesus each day. And if we start doing that more, if we start saying, Holy Spirit, come alive in me. I want to imitate Christ every day. I want to bring him to the world. Then he's going to use you. But he needs your permission. You have to give him your permission to work in you. When you start doing that, you're going to be changing your life and the lives of those around you. Let's look at the readings for the Mass during the day. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. You see a variety of readings from the prophet Isaiah today. Isaiah is big not only during Advent, but he's big during Lent as well. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings glad tidings, announcing peace, bearing good news, announcing salvation, and saying to Zion, Your God is King. Hark, your sentinels raise a cry. Together they shout for joy, for they see directly before their eyes the Lord restoring Zion. Break out together in song, O ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord comforts his people. He redeems Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will behold the salvation of our God. It's so incredible when we remember that every time we receive Holy Communion, every time we go to Mass, we see Jesus. He doesn't look like we would expect him to look. He doesn't look like a person, but that's really Jesus. That's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Messiah. He's there. He is so accessible. He's so accessible that we are able to receive him in Holy Communion into our very own bodies. Every time we see him, we see this Jesus whom we read about in the Gospels, right? It's really him. You need to remember that. This is something we forget all the time. Psalm 98, this is from the Mass during the day. All the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. You have seen the saving power of God. God came to earth in Jesus. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has made his salvation known in the sight of the nations. He has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise. Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and the melodious song, with trumpets and sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. Certainly when we go to Mass on Christmas Day, we want to sing. We want to rejoice. We want to be glad. You know, when you sing those old familiar Christmas songs, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. Your Savior has arrived. And even though he was born 2,000 years ago, during the Advent season, what we were trying to do is get closer to him. We're trying to get closer to Jesus, to welcome him more deeply into our lives, right? So on Christmas Day, this is the culmination of all of your efforts. Welcome him in. And even if you've done nothing throughout Advent, Christmas Day is the day you go and you say, Jesus, I welcome you. I want you to become more involved in my life. I'm sick of worrying. I'm sick of being a bad person. I'm sick of being someone who does things I don't want to do, because nobody is bad. We're all created good, but we do bad things sometimes. I'm sick of sinning. I'm sick of letting you down. I'm sick of being so negative. I'm sick of being a complainer. I want to welcome you, Jesus, more deeply into my life, and I thank you for loving me so much. I thank you for never giving up on me. You see, when we start doing this, we want to sing even more loudly, especially at Christmas Mass. Let's see how much time I have. I have about 6 minutes left. I'm doing a lot of readings today, so I want to make sure I can cover everything. Let me just go right to the Gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. This is the Gospel from Mass during the day for Christmas Day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who was coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." You know, there is so much truth in this message. The light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mentioned it that we live in a dark world at times. We live in a very un-Christian world. There's definitely a secular culture out there that goes against the message of Christianity. The message that we see repeatedly in the media, we see it all over advertising, and we hear it all the time, is go for all the pleasure you can. Enjoy yourself. You only go around once in life. And also, you hear the message, and we can't deny this because we do constantly hear this, that if you want to be happy, you need to be rich and you need to have a lot of possessions. Well, that's not true, because so many rich people realize they're miserable. The only way you will ever be happy in life is by having a close personal friendship with Jesus Christ, and you walk with him every day. That's how you know what to do. How many times do you hear, "I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm conflicted. I don't know what to do in this situation." The only way that you will ever know what God wants you to do is through having this close relationship with Christ, this friendship. And if you do that, if you have that a friendship with Jesus Christ, then you will be able to know what God wants you to do in any situation. And you're going to also have a lot of peace in your life. Now, how does this happen? Well, it happens not necessarily instantaneously. Discernment, discerning what God wants you to do in any situation or with your life in general, is a process. It could take weeks, it could take months, it could take years. I know in my own case, when I was discerning the call to full-time ministry, it took years to really for it to develop. And I was frustrated. I was trying to push the Lord. But in the process, what happened was, first of all, you can't push God. You can't make him act any faster than he wants to act, because he knows what's best. But what you can do is you can consistently build up that relationship. Make sure you're talking to him in prayer every day. And what will happen is you'll get to know him better. And the better you get to know him, the easier it is to figure out what it is that he wants you to do. Sometimes he's not going to give you the answer because he wants you to get to know him better. He wants you to work on that relationship. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The world did not know Jesus. The world, many people in the world ignored Jesus. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Many people in the world will ignore you when you try to share the gospel message with them. Don't let it bother you. There's a good precedent for that. This happened to Jesus. It will happen to you. Don't let it rattle you. But continue to be that voice in the wilderness. Imitate John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do? John the Baptist called attention to Jesus. That's what he was all about. He was sent to announce Jesus Christ. Here is the Messiah. This is the guy you're looking for. That's what each of us want to do in our lives. We want to bring Christ to people. It starts with a smile. I've said this many times. It starts just by being nice to someone. It's incredibly easy to bring Christ into somebody's life. I am just about out of time, but before I go, I want to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas. I look forward to seeing you next Friday on the program. Remember, Spirit in the Morning, my morning show. I'd love to have you become a listener. FollowingTheTruth.com is the place to go for more information. Merry Christmas, and thanks for tuning in. God bless you.